smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, number 23. I'm Fred Green. Do you have a question about specific golf gear or need informed answers when buying new golf products? Well, Kenny Nicholson, technical specialist at Edwin Watts Golf and edwinwattsgolf.com, is here to help. Now, to submit your question, go to golfsmarter.com and click on the Ask Kenny tab. And if we use your question on this podcast, you'll receive a free Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf app. Hey, Kenny.
Good morning, Fred.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's good to hear. Hey, I'm excited about today's show because not only are we going to announce the winners of both the TaylorMade Burner 2 Rescue and the TaylorMade Burner 2 Fairway Wood, we also have a guest today. It's Dr. Alan Ryko, the Global Research Director of Vision Science for Nike, talking about how he utilizes vision research to create better sports equipment, and more specifically, the new Nike IC putter. But first, since we'll be talking to Dr. Al about putters and putting, we have a question from Jason Jones of Florissant, Missouri, and he's curious to know, how do you learn to read greens? How do you know which way the ball's going to break?
Let me ask this question back to him. What kind of grass is he talking about?
Ooh.
Because I'm telling you right now, I live in the southeast part of the United States. I live in Florida.
Okay.
They typically Bermuda greens. And I can read the heck out of those. I can read them very, very well. I can see undulation well. I can see grain well. You put me on a bent grass green, I am completely lost. And I'm a what I would consider a very good putter. You put me on bent, I'm completely clueless. If I don't have a caddy, I'm done for the day.
So, and what part of the country are you going to find bent grass?
Typically, you find that a lot in the northern states. California has a lot of bent grass. So when they do that West Coast swing out there in California, they're out on bent grass.
Is that what they were playing at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines?
Exactly. It's rare, and they'll talk about that from the West Coast swing to the Florida swing whenever the tour goes there. A lot of your southern, southeast pro golfers typically don't do as well on those bent grass greens. They're glad to get over to Florida, and it's rare to find somebody that can read both, in my opinion, that can read bent grass real good or can read Bermuda real good. If you can do them both very well, Tiger's very good at being able to read both. Obviously, he doesn't get any help from any caddy or anything. It's rare from an outsider looking in for somebody that can do that well with both types of grass. And there's other grasses, but I think it depends on where you grow up playing, what you're used to. You know, I'm very used to Bermuda.
Jason's question, Jason, comes from Missouri. Do you have any sense of what he might be playing on?
From Missouri?
Yeah.
He would probably be in that Bermuda class,
mm-hmm.
Not a very grainy grass.
How do you tell the difference? I mean, other than asking at the front, at the desk when you check in, but how do you tell the difference of which grass is which?
If you're from the south and you go up north and you can't read it, it's probably bent. And if you're from the north and come to the south, it's probably a Bermuda. And when I went to the Dominican a couple months ago, they use a grass down there. I can't remember the name of it. Zoysia. It wasn't a Zoysia, but it was something else. But they actually watered it with
salt. Come on, Kenny. We know kind of grass they have in the Dominican.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
I didn't see that. But no, they actually can water this grass with salt water, which
wow.
is amazing. I mean, here our grass would die, but it was the same as a Bermuda. You know, I could not read the greens whatsoever. Luckily, we had a caddy, and he, was just, trust me. Are you sure? One ball out. Trust me. so I just went with him and did okay. But no, being able to read greens is difficult if you're not familiar with the type of grass that they're using.
Well, interesting. I remember watching the Open, and Johnny Miller made a comment about the way Tiger putts, and he said his speed, his direction are nailed. I mean, he's got absolute precision on it. But the thing, if anything, if he makes a mistake on a putt, it's because he misreads the green.
Yeah,
you watch him studying a green, and he'll take it from four, five, six different angles. It's incredible to watch.
He is incredible to watch. The eagle that he made on Saturday, because he was wearing that little vest thing. Johnny Miller and them said this is like you know, I remember specifically I said something about it's like a foot or 2 feet out, and Tiger was lined up, God knows how far left. And I was, you know, I'm thinking, oh my God, he's missed it because they just, Johnny Miller just read it.
That was
Tiger's
on 18,
like,
right?
4 feet out. Yeah, Tiger's like 4 feet outside. Oh, he drains the putt. What was funny to me though is on 18 on Sunday when Tiger, you know, had that what 12 foot for birdie to tie. You know, Stevie tried to come behind him and was fixing to read it, and Tiger kind of looks up from that squat position. I got it. Yeah. You know, he knows it. He trusts it, and he goes with it. And there's no, I mean. There's nobody better in that situation. I'm not knocking Lee Westwood. He played awesome to get to where he was, but I mean, to be have a chance to tie in the U.S. Open, and you got a 12 footer. I think it was downhill, and you leave it short. I mean, I Tiger just doesn't do that, which is amazing to
well,
me.
Well, and the key element what you said is you got to trust it.
You got to trust it.
Don't question it once you get up there. And a big part of that, I think this is a perfect opportunity to bring Dr. Al in. This is Dr. Alan Ryko with Nike. Dr. Al, how are you?
Real good.
Good.
Pleasure to be here.
And thanks for waiting for us here. And we're talking about, you know, reading putts and also the vision part of it. That brings you in pretty well, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that what you do?
Got a little bit of it. On my end, I guess. Spent about 30 plus years now working in the area.
And what is it, vision research? Talk about how that works in sports and what you're able to do.
Well, of the senses, you know, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, tactile, all those sorts of things. Vision is the guiding sense to most of human performance. And interestingly enough, over my career of working with literally thousands upon thousands of athletes in across all sports and positions within sports, etc. The two groups of athletes that tend to be most aware of the importance of vision in their sport and in their performance level are golfers are one of them, and the other population are actually the shooters, which is a large competition sport, particularly when you get to the level of Olympic teams, national teams, etc. But then others that are out trap shooting, etc. But you take golfers and the shooters, and those two populations of athletes, they are very in tune as to how important vision is in their ultimate performance.
And I would guess that putting is the most critical when it gets in the vision part of golf.
Yeah, you know, when we get close to the cup and start to get into exactly listening to what you were all talking about between the Bermuda grass and the bent grass, I thought that was fascinating. Basically, that information you're taking in on the contours, the topography of the green, and when you deal with those blades of grass, I've been fascinated by that over a recent number of years, and actually measure what type of light, what colors of the spectrum actually reflect off those blades of grass, and that little sheen that comes off of each blade of grass, and that leads into a composite of what that topography and contour is of the green. So, The short game is definitely where it's at. The closer to the cup you get, once you're onto the green, the vision we're talking about with Tiger, you know, in terms of reading the green, he's so precise on distance and speed that and direction. It comes down to really that read for all of us. And how many times have we all, you know, gotten behind the ball? And what I like to do with working with the golfers is providing the tools that they are getting that confident read all the time. We end up with an internal conflict when we get behind a ball and we have a certain visual perspective. Then we get up, perhaps we go to the lateral to the ball in the cup, and we get another perspective, and we're taking all this information in, trying to generate a composite or a collective agreement. Then we get up over the ball and address it, and we tilt our head, and now we're looking with our head tilted at a completely different angle. Now, especially on those putts where there is some sort of break out there, we may get another line in our mind's eye. And then how often do we see someone kind of step back and kind of look at it and go, okay, do we take that first line? Do we take that second line? Or do we take kind of a composite or a hybrid of those two? And now we have internal conflict, which, you know, as you know, we like to keep things confident and pure and simple. So that work of looking at how vision plays plays in the putting performance is an area that I've been really fascinated by for many years.
In doing some research on our conversation today, I was fascinated by the concept of visual noise, which you kind of brought into just now. Can you explain what that means and how it affects putting?
Certainly. Visual noise is essentially, if we go back to these two eyes in our camera, think of them as satellites on a global positioning system. They, for maximum depth perception and field of view and peripheral vision and in all these sorts of visual skills that we assess and evaluate and consider, when you look at those, the if there's any visual information that comes in that's not contributing to that confident line that you pick up, that's visual noise. And that visual noise can come from anything. And it starts with light. When sunlight hits the blades of grass, it reflects off to us. And we have a little sheen, a little retinal sheen or sheen that comes off that blade of grass, that little shininess off of each blade of grass, which is uniquely distinct for each blade of grass on that putting surface. And the angle to the sun, the angle of the grass, when it's been cut, how short it is, all this stuff gives a unique retinal or a unique sheen to each blade of grass, which is important to us in identifying contour and break, etc. When we get to the rest of the environment, and that includes now the putter, we want the information to be powerful. I call it a visual signal. We want the visual signal for that alignment aid to be very powerful, but we want to suppress or decrease the information, the signal from distracting information that may compromise that confident read that we get, that confident line that we project in our mind's eye.
Hey, Dr. Al, this is Kenny. I want to interject real quick. Since we're talking about this visual noise, I understand it more reading the question. I was like, what does visual noise actually mean? You've done a great job explaining that. And when I get behind a ball and read a putt, I play in sunglasses and don't have a problem hitting golf balls. But whenever I read a putt, I always take off my sunglasses so I can actually see that sheen that you're talking about, that shiny portion of undulation that you can actually see and know a break is there and try to see grain and things like that. So I think it's vitally important to be able to see all of those things, and somebody that doesn't have the ability to understand what that means can have an adverse effect, especially on putting. Wouldn't you agree?
Totally. A fair amount of work with both high-level amateurs, but also the LPGA and PGA golfers over the years. And when I first, it's going on 15 years ago, when I got a call from Nike, they wanted to find someone that knew vision and also new athletes, because they figured great insight by Nike. They figured vision probably played a pretty important role in sports performance. An example, baseball player that's batting really well. What do they say? Virtually 100%. They say I'm seeing the ball well. Well, what does that mean? How can we assess it, and how can we provide the tools for that athlete to turn that little light switch on so they can see the ball that well whenever they want? And we as golfers or whatever sports we participate, we all have, no matter what level, we all have those moments of greatness where you go, wow, that was a great read. That was a putt I dropped and I read it correctly. And the great athletes have those moments of greatness more often. It's consistent. So that's the area that I certainly have been looking at throughout my whole career is what can we do to buy those tools, turn that light switch on whenever that athlete needs it to perform. So, back to your comment about taking that eyewear off for the putting and reading the green. That certainly was right. Probably about 12 years ago, I was looking at that area and looked at, talked to many golfers, went out and we measured what the distortions that they had when they were wearing the eyewear. And certainly we found that having a pair of eyewear on, you have lens reflections, you have some optics. It's not right on the eye like a contact lens. It's off the eye, and there's some air there. There's some space, and with the materials, we end up with some distortions right there. They're called optical distortions. And we set out, one of the first projects for Nike was to create a pair of golf eyewear that would be that the golfer would want to leave on because it gave them him or her an advantage. Number one, they were comfortable under the bright and varied conditions out there, the harsh conditions, and really golf is an endurance sport. You're out there for long hours. You're out there under extreme glare and shadow and ever-changing. And so what I call light architecture, which comes into play with the IC putter and everything else I do, light architecture is controlling the amount of light and also the quality of light. Think of the quality of light being the colors of the rainbow. So on the working on the golf eyewear, said, well, first of all, to provide the athlete very comfortable, obviously the frame has to fit, but it can't interfere. So worked on a nose piece design that was minimal, no frame interference, et cetera. Number two is the optics, and we worked for years on what was called Max Optics, a design of an optical system that would not distort where that putt is, where that cup is, et cetera. And that's Max Optics, where we expanded the optical suite zone, and we actually tested this on golfers without any brand recognition with the optics compared to optics that are out there. And sure enough, top golfers perceived that that was far superior. And then lastly, the third piece is the amount of light or the color of light to see those blades of grass that we were talking about accurately. And what we did there was we took different types of grass, bent grass, Bermuda grass, and obviously, with permission of the greenskeepers, we took little divots and we measured them in a special device to find out what colors of the rainbow come off of each blade of grass that we thought was critical to the bead. And we cut up golf balls, Nike golf balls, and we cut took sand out of sand traps in Florida to the northern climes, etc. And we knew what the sky gave off. Well, what we end up with were little windows of color that we would allow through that was important, and we would filter out those portions of the rainbow that were not providing useful information or actually distracting information. And we came up with what's called the Nike golf tint. And with that, we went out and independently with a university, they ran on high-level golfers, no brand recognition, various tints to see if there was any difference. And the only tint, golf tint, was that was perceived to outperform a no-tint option or a clear tint was the Nike golf tint. And again, we wanted the golfer to be comfortable for those long hours out there, and we wanted the golfer to be able to see the detail they need without distortion. So kind of to answer your question about taking that eyewear and put up on top of your hat there at the green, that's always been a challenge out there, and we think we've addressed it. One thing I might add, though, is in terms of, you all do such a great job of educating the golfer. An area that has also fascinated me is the use of polarized eyewear. And the use of polarized, that was developed for the fishing industry and around water. Works great there. But for the game of golf, we've done research with high-level golfers and found that, and this confirmed what we thought, but it adds another dimension of variability that we don't want with the golfer. Each blade of grass, it has that little sheen coming off of it. That light is polarized, like off of water, but each one of them is unique. And if you take polarized eyewear and stand behind the putt, you see the blades of grass with the little sheen. And if you stand over the putt and tilt your head to the side, they all change. And the same thing if you're at water and you tilt your head back and forth, it all changes. So that's an area that we've been investigating as well. And we now educate all our golfers that polarized eyewear doesn't do them any good service.
Interesting. It works against them.
There's a lot of guys listening to the show right now that are going, and ladies as well, that are going, man, I know what my problem is.
Exactly. I also want to let the listener know that the Dr. Al is in the vision science and not the audio science. That's my fault. If you sense that his signal's going in and out, I promise you, we're doing this recording over Skype, so we're using the internet to have this conversation with one another, and that's why it sounds like we're in a room together, but we're actually on different parts of the country, and we're all wearing headsets, so he's not moving in and out away from his microphone. It's just kind of the internet doing its thing here, so we're getting everything that you're saying, but it just sounds like sometime you're moving in and out, but everyone's going to be able to get everything that you say. This is absolutely fascinating, and I'm curious, do you have the opportunity, because you work with Nike, do you have the opportunity to work with Tiger or work with some of the high-level athletes at different sports to get a sense of why is it they can see better than amateurs?
Absolutely.
Or do they? Or do they is the question.
Very good questions. And there's probably going to be another follow-up question of if they do see differently, are they born with it or do they develop it?
The follow-up question is, how do we get there?
that's right. That's the third one.
Yeah.
I'm still working on that third one for me. Yeah.
Tell us that they're not superhuman. That's what I want to hear.
That's one of the joys and privileges of working here at Nike is when I work on projects and I work with everyone from the footwear, apparel, the equipment, the golf, global football, soccer, American football, go on and on. And one of the real joys in how to find some real those subtle insights that are so critical, as you all know, especially in the game of golf, to work with the best athletes in the world in each of their respective sports. It's extremely valuable to creating product that helps them see sport better. And that's really what it comes down to from my contribution to these various product categories here at Nike. The second piece that you had asked about was, I believe you said, do they see differently? They do. We have started about 30 years ago creating a standardized testing system where we looked at the dynamics of sport. Most of us have had eye exams where you sit down in a chair at an eye doctor's office and you look through a funny-looking machine looking straight ahead at a high contrast, TZV-ECL, that 2020
number
chart
one,
out there in the distance.
Or number two?
Number two. Yeah, one.
Or number two. Three.
Three or
four. Three, four.
You've been there. All right.
I'll be there today.
You've been there.
That's right. That's right.
Really, that has really very little to do with sport. It's these cameras in our eyes, most sophisticated cameras ever created, haven't been able to match it. We do need to see detail like that, obviously. But we live in a world that is lower contrast, subtle contrast differences. And we also live in a world that's mostly peripheral. When we want to see detail and read something, yeah, we look straight ahead. But most of our world is peripheral. And actually, in terms of swing dynamics and everything else with athletes on the field of play, on the course, et cetera, not all those the signal going to the brain through these two cameras actually goes to seeing. About 10% goes to balance and stability. So it becomes pretty complex when we look at it. Now, if we step back to these athletes, these high-level athletes that we work with through Nike, over the years we've evaluated hundreds of thousands of athletes, and what we have found is that the best of the best see differently than do lesser-level athletes. It varies by sport and even varies by position. Now, the good news for all of us that may not be the best of the best is that each of these skills we assess, we don't assess them unless we know we can do something about them. Why would we, assess something and say, we can't do anything about it? Example is color vision. About 1 in 10 males has a little color deficiency. Not color blindness, never seen one, but a little color deficiency. Well, we don't test it. Why? Because we aren't going to do the athlete a favor by saying, you got a little color deficiency there, but then the coach goes, well, great, let's fix it. And then you go, well, we can't. So we leave those things alone. But we do assess these other areas and the dynamics of sport, the contrast, and all these sorts of things so that, number one, we can bring the athlete to a level that they're at to a higher level. Now, relative to golf, just to let you know, relative to the game of golf, with our work with the PGA and the LPGA golfers, the highest level performers out there, our database with them shows that they are among the most visually sensitive athletes in any sport. Wow. And it comes back to those golfers and the marksmen, the shooters, shooting sports. Those two groups are extremely sensitive. They see things that others don't, to be quite honest. They are extremely sensitive, and if you look at the visual demands of their sport, obviously they need to be.
Hmm. So how did, let's bring this to the IC putter, which is the new putter from Nike. How did your science, your research bring you to create a putter? And who did you get to work with on this?
Well, yeah, that's interesting. The work with I've been doing with the golfers on the Performance Sun eyewear for golf. That work then, the word kind of spread to some other projects I was working on, development of the most visible soccer ball in the world, called the Nike Hi-Viz soccer ball, and measuring, again, everything we do is through the eyes of the athlete. Not really looking at the athlete. We want to see what it's for them through their eyes, what they see, what are the distractions, what are the contrasts, all these sorts of things. And I'd been working on various products around Nike with this light architecture, engineering tints and engineering color of product, et cetera, to make signals stronger and make the ball more visible and pop out from the background. And that concept of popping out from the background was really what triggered it. I was down in Fort Worth, Texas, there, and Tom Stites and his outstanding, very talented group of club designers and engineers. I went and met with them and went into Tom's office, sat down there, and we were just kind of chatting about his career and his expertise and what he had done over the years, and then talked about what my area of vision science and vision being the sense in human performance, the guiding sense in human performance. And we thought, boy, there's got to be a way to there must be something there. If you close your eyes and you putt, or you close your eyes and read the green, you're not going to be very successful. So we thought, boy, maybe there's something here to combine the science of golf club design and technology to the science of vision. And that was about a half hour into our discussion that we both were going, boy, there's stuff here. There's something here, definitely. And so that's where it all started out. And the concept of the IC putter was, and as you had asked about earlier, about commented that vision being pretty darn critical there on the green. You know, when you take that that eyewear off your head because it wasn't helping you, it was actually hurting your performance of the read of the green and your putting game. That's where we looked at it relative to the putter and said, you know, we want that signal for what's important, the alignment aid. We want the information to be very powerful relative to anything else in the environment. We want that to stand out in the mind's eye and to be able to project that line out to, let's say, you know, two balls to the right of the cup. How can we, in the mind's eye, expand that line, blow it up so that it pops out to us and to the golfer? Well, one of the ways to do it is obviously to have an alignment aid that is right, a strong visual signal, powerful visual signal, but the other is to make it relatively strong. We need to suppress or push back the other information that is distracting, that provides false information, so that signal of that alignment aid is relatively stronger. It's boosted. It's essentially boosted in power. And that was the concept, and we came up with that just within that first half an hour of Tom and I sitting down for the first time chatting.
And what is it that you came up with?
Came up with a strategy of suppressing or matching the club, any element of the club from the grip on down to the putter head, any element that didn't contribute to the alignment and positioning of the putter. So we wanted to suppress that into the grass. And essentially from all the work we had done before in looking at what the colors of the grass are and by measuring it, we actually obviously have a lot of green coming off of the grass, but we also, people don't realize this, there's a lot of red that comes off of grass. Certain colors are red, but we aren't as sensitive to red, so we don't see it as red. But to make up the real true color of green grass, or the various types of grass, we actually have green and red in there. So what we did was we knew that we wanted to blend in to the background, mask or suppress all elements of the club head, the shaft, the grip, that didn't provide any valuable information to alignment, and quite honestly, with the shaft on most putters is a silver. It reflects. You have sun coming off it. You have glare. You have glare coming off of hot spots on the putter head. Unless we were to suppress it to the grass, and so what we do is we call out the alignment aid in the leading edge of the putter for alignment to the ball, and we suppress everything else that's out there in the space. So now when you set up to it, and here's kind of an analogy that I use. If you were to go out there, and this is from any level of golfer, and it really helps with the young golfer, the new golfer, is if you take a white golf tee and you lay down and you line up that line that you're seeing, you want to, you know, five balls to the right of the cup, and you line up a really white golf tee on the ground, you aim it, you're behind it and looking at it, you get a good line, a really powerful line, because there's no other detail around the white golf tee that's distracting, provides any false information. It's a really high contrasting, bright white golf tee on top of the green grass. And that green grass only reflects about 3 to 7% of light that hits it. That white golf tee will reflect, you know, 80% of the light that hits it, maybe more. So then you take most putters that are out there and set it down like next to that white golf tee, and you'll see that, well, yeah, there's an alignment aid there, but that alignment aid is really suppressed, and there's other information that around it that is distracting on the club, whether it's the shaft, the grip, the club head, etc. And you don't get as powerful a signal for that alignment aid. So that's the concept of the IC putter. Now you take the IC putter and set next to that golf tee and next to the other putter you may have been using, and you'll see that powerful signal of that alignment aid really pops out at you. And you're able to extend in your mind's eye that line much easier than with other putters that have all sorts of reflections and distractions.
So that's the green color obviously takes – it basically blends in with the color of the greens, obviously, and you're able to focus more just on the alignment aid at the golf club.
Exactly. And we've got research, you know, in terms of the mental part of it. There is research that goes clear into, we all work on computers nowadays, and we go from, you know, reading something to the computer, et cetera. And we know in terms of research that visual attention and concentration and comfort, relaxation, et cetera, we want the item of interest, the item that we want to concentrate on, the item that we want to focus on, we want that to be the brightest element in our visual space. So when you're looking, you're reading a book or you're looking at the computer, you don't want areas around you that are brighter than that. You want the most powerful signal to be where you want to focus and place your visual attention and concentration. So if you look at the putter itself, you will notice that with that white aid, the alignment aid, we worked on this on the size of it. We've suppressed everything else to the grass, and as I said before, grass only reflects, you know, 5 to 7%. But that white alignment aid is, you know, 80 to 100%. It's very bright, which we want for visual attention and concentration. And you'll notice that on the IC putter, we also have the alignment aid becoming wider up at the leading edge of the putter. And the purpose for that is we want where visual attention should be directed, we want that focus to be locked there more comfortably without any peripheral distraction that may compromise that visual attention and focus. So it's a much, much cleaner system from the mental side of the game in terms of where we have directed the visual signal to maintain a nice, relaxed, clean focus.
That brings us to another another point. It helps explain the benefits and features of the IC putter line. Back to our previous question where I was talking about taking the sunglasses off. Time magazine, obviously, one of the best inventions in 2005 was a contact lens that you invented called MaxSight. And it obviously has several different lenses available, obviously, for several different athletes available. Can you touch on that for just a moment?
Yeah, the Nike MaxSight contact lens about 10 years ago, I was looking at what would be the ultimate in performance sun eyewear. Well, it'd be where there was no environmental issues like fogging, sweating, scratching of lenses, having to clean lenses. Number two would be where there were no pressure points, no, you know, absolute perfect comfort no matter where we look, no interference of frames. We have total peripheral vision wide open. And also the optics would be absolutely perfect. And came up with, well, let's put in a performance-enhancing tint into a contact lens, whether it's zero-powered or it's got a prescription corrective power for an athlete, and place it on the eye so they are totally immersed in the tint no matter where you look, and there's no peripheral light leakage or anything like that. So that was the kind of the ultimate in, I would say, you kind of define that as the ultimate in performance sun eyewear. And that was the strategy behind the Nike MagSight contact lenses.
Fascinating. Now, when you talked about, obviously, the visual noise that you've tried to eliminate on the new IC putter, you've taken care of that. What is the feedback that you received on the feel of the putter? I mean, obviously, the first thing you're going to notice is the look of it, but what kind of feedback have you received on how it plays?
Well, through the Nike, the golf group here and that, the feedback and what I've received personally as well, the feedback has been just outstanding. And it's interesting when you take, you know, that feel, the tactile, the kinesthetic, you know, all the senses that we have, it comes together to produce one experience. And so when you combine, you know, vision and tactile and kinesthetic and all these ingredients together, you come up with a kind of a composite experience for it. And feedback has been extremely positive all the way across.
Sounds amazing.
I've actually, just this last weekend, I was actually out some friends. They grabbed the IC putter and spouses were explaining to them about the putt and stuff, what they had been before, and they after they tried the IC putter, they just said, I gotta get this. It makes putting so much easier for them to understand, and so that was interesting feedback. That was just last weekend.
Oh, fabulous. Fabulous. Well, we're very lucky because Nike has agreed to provide a brand new IC putter for one of our listeners. And if you would like to win, not you, Dr. Al, but if the listener would like to win one, please go to golfsmarter.com and click on the button labeled Contest, fill out the information, and click Submit. You may enter as often as you like. Deadline for entries is Tuesday, July 8th, 2008. Dr. Al is the Nike Global Research Director of Vision Science at a company that I don't know how many companies are in the visual sciences, but it makes a whole lot of sense when you're creating sports equipment, and it's an absolutely interesting conversation. We really appreciate your time.
Enjoyed it very much.
Dr. Al, thanks a million. Real quick, obviously, if you want to see any of the Nike products, you can go to edwinwattsgolf.com, and I also would invite anybody to go to Nike.com/Nike Vision, and you can see more about this Max Vision contact lens that Dr. Al invented, and it also gives you an example of what you see with and without the golf tint. Mm-hmm. Truly incredible. You'll be able to understand a little bit more about what we're talking about. These shiny spots, things like that. So very fascinating. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoyed it very much. Look forward to meeting you sometime.
Oh, hope
okay,
so.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Wow, Kenny, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was awesome. So they're gonna donate a putter.
Yep,
that's awesome.
They said they will put up a putter, and we'll again, deadline for entries on that is Tuesday, July 8th. But let's get finish this up because I know that the listeners are really curious to know if they have won. We have a couple clubs to give away. The one we've been doing for a month now because we had some technical screw up, but everything has been corrected. The TaylorMade Burner Rescue 2. We received, you're going to 489 entries. These are unique entries. We eliminated
Wow.
the duplicates. Yeah, amazing. And my friend, it is up to you to pick a number between 1 and 489, and that winner will be whom?
I'm going to go with 468.
468.
That number came to me today. Believe it or not, as we talked baseball prior to going live today on the show, it's how many home runs Gary Sheffield's hit so far. So that number stuck with me today.
All right. Well, then I hope that that Lowell White of Forney, Texas, is a fan of Gary Sheffield because they share something in common. 468 and Lowell White has just won the TaylorMade Burner Rescue 2. And now we're going to move on. Congratulations, Lowell. And
congratulations,
now,
Lowell.
Now we'll go over to the TaylorMade Burner Fairway Wood. This time we received 243 entries, and the winner of that is number what?
I mean, I'm just going to throw something out there. 152.
152.
No strings attached on that one.
None whatsoever. And that will be Erie, Colorado. Ryan Mixer is the winner of the TaylorMade Burner Fairway Wood.
Congratulations, Ryan. Awesome product right there.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Stuff.
Thank you to, yeah, thank you to TaylorMade for making that possible.
And Edwin Watts Golf and Kenny Nicholson would like to thank you for listening to the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf podcast and encourage you to get your free subscription to the show so that every episode downloads to your computer automatically. And as a listener, we want to remind you that you receive 10% discount and free shipping on your purchases at edwinwattsgolf.com. There's limited restrictions, but you can get all the information on how to receive your discounts and free shipping when you click on the click here for more info at golfbetterpodcast.com.
Now we do have that promotional code we changed.
Right, so. And we changed the promotional code, and it is current and correct. The promotional code that will run through September 1st, 2008 is GBETTER1. The letter G, the word better, the numeral 1. GBETTER1 is the code that you enter to receive 10% off. Kenny, thanks so much. That was a fascinating show. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Thank you very much, Fred. I really enjoyed it.
Please check out the Golf Smarter blog for updated information to all of our golf podcasts at golfsmarter.com.